Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, this week we've been looking at some of the feasts of ancient Israel and their significance and application for us today. We looked at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and today and tomorrow, with the Lord's help, we're going to look at the Feast of First Fruits. And so allow me to share with you Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, verses 10 through 14. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye are come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then shall ye bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, to be accepted for you. On the next day after the Sabbath the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day, when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year, for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meal offering thereof shall be 2/10 part of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savour. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched grain, nor green ears, until that same day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Praise God. Thank you for the word, Lord. In this verse, we see the Feast of First Fruits, if you will. This festival typifies the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in particular, and also it is a foreshadowing of those who are His, who will come forth in the resurrection into their glorified body at His coming. We have this glorious promise in 1 Corinthians 15, 22 and 23. Should this not thrill your hearts? For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at His coming, praise God. When Jesus comes, we shall be changed. Those who are alive in the twinkling of an eye and those who sleep in Christ shall precede those who are alive, and they shall forever be with the Lord. They've going to meet the Lord in the clouds of the air. Praise God. And this feast was observed in the same week as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There was a lot in that first week. God said, when you come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Now, while this is true that the Feast of First Fruits typifies the resurrection of Jesus Christ and of the saints who die in Christ and which shall arise at His coming, His second coming, I want to share some things the Lord has quickened to me about the Feast of the First Fruits, which I believe are relevant for us today. We know from the Word of God, from the new covenant that has been given to us, sealed in the very blood of Jesus, that His sons, His daughters today, have a place of power and authority in Christ. When Jesus died at Calvary, we in essence, as we read the scriptures, we understand that in essence, we also died with Him. We're identified with Him in His death. And when Jesus Christ rose from the dead and came out of the tomb, we rose with Him. There's a literal time that is going to happen. We don't know the time, the day, we can know the season. And beloved, we are in the very last days as we see the events occurring that we do see reported in the evening news and in the newspapers. And we know by the signs, the things that we're hearing and reading, that it is exactly as the Bible describes. In the last days, perilous times shall come, earthquakes, famines, all manner of terrible natural disasters. We know this will take place. But the body of believers that the Apostle Paul talks about in the sixth chapter of Romans are a very special people. As Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, beloved, we have been made alive in Christ. We are a new creature in Him, and I've always believed that doesn't just refer to our salvation experience, which is, of course, extremely true, but we should walk in newness of life day by day as we walk with the Lord and as we grow in the knowledge and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said, "Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Praise God. God has a great company of saints in these last days, which He is bringing forth in resurrection power and anointing, who will stand as overcomers in this hour. Just as the early church was unstoppable, a motley group of a few people gathered in Jerusalem literally transformed the world by the preaching of the Word of God with the signs and wonders that followed. Just as the early church did impossible things, the Roman Empire and emperor was rising up against them. Yet, because of persecution, they weren't defeated. They were dispersed into the nations of the world. It was as Thomas went to India. And that work of evangelism, which began with the early church, has never stopped. Oh, the devil has tried to stop it through the centuries, the dark ages. He's done everything he could to oppress and bring deception to the church. But the church of Jesus Christ is alive, beloved. God is moving. In the lives of His people. He's stirring our spirits. And these people are going to be different than any people who have ever lived on this earth, beloved, because I believe in the end times we're going to see a double portion. We are alive in these last days, and we are going to be the recipients of God's double portion outpouring upon us. God is moving on us. Can't you sense it in your own spirit, beloved? He's calling His people out. He's bringing them into a place in Him that the world knows nothing about. And some of us, even if we've maybe walked with the Lord for many decades, there's a new thing that God is doing. There's a sense of excitement, of anticipation, of enthusiasm, that there's a quickening that we sense. We may not fully know all that's going on, but don't you sense it in your own life, beloved? God is moving on. Hallelujah. Think about this. God never made this world until He first made light. Isn't that right? He never made a fish until He had created the water for the fish to swim in. God never made a cow or a rabbit until there was grass to eat and vegetables to eat. God never made a bird to fly until there was a firmament and He created the heavens and the sky. God never created Adam until He had a place for Adam to dwell. And beloved, God is not going to bring things to a close until He has a bride ready and prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ when He returns. Beloved, that's why the devil is fighting you so hard. That's why the devil is fighting the church so hard. That's why in the nations of the world, so many Christians are being persecuted. They're being martyred. They're being put to death. That's why the devil fights so many ministries so hard, because the devil knows as soon as the Church of Jesus Christ begins to recognize who they are in Christ and what kind of power and authority they have in Christ, souls are going to be saved like never before. Beloved, do you know what the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ means in your life? It means you've been set free from the power of sin. You've been set free from old habits, from addictions, from ways of living, from old thought patterns. But beloved, you know, it takes a response. God is not doing this work all on his own. He who began that good work will complete it, but it takes our active involvement and cooperation. Can we do it ourselves? Absolutely not. But we can call out in prayer to God, Lord, change me, transform me, make me who you want to be. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. Let me be that vessel of honor in the house of the Lord. Mold me, make me, fashion me into the very image of Jesus. Hallelujah. John 1:4 states, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verses 12 and 13 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, beloved. Oh, hallelujah. Do you see, beloved, what Jesus has? He's reserved the best till last. Just like, remember the very first miracle of Jesus, the wine that was changed into wine. And just as that wine was brought to the chaperone, if you will, of the feast, he said, you've saved the best for last. He commended the bridegroom. And so, beloved, God is saving the best for last. I believe that. I've always, since a young Christian, those scriptures have just resonated in my spirit Beloved, we have the privilege of being part of this generation that is seeing the works of God. Are we going to be the last? No man knows the time. We don't know how long we're going to be here, but you know what? Does it really matter? What matters is that you and me, beloved, will be yielded to the Lord and doing all that he would have us do to be in our place in the body, to work in unity and one accord, and to allow the Holy Spirit to bring us into maturity in Christ under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ Jesus. Praise God. I don't know about you, beloved. That gets me awful excited. Hallelujah. So think about these things. Meditate upon them. Let thy profiting appear unto all men, as Paul told Timothy. Beloved, I love you. I invite you to write. If there's areas that the enemy's really getting you hung up on and you need to move forward in God, you need deliverance, you need oppression or deliverance from the oppression of the enemy, then write. The announcer will give our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.